Hi.
Hi, we're good to go.
Hey, good, awesome.
All right, Lauren. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major.
Awesome. So I graduated in the spring of 2010 in musical theater, from the BOCO side of things. Before it was a merger, but now I get to say that I'm a Berklee grad, which I think is pretty cool.
Excellent. And as you said, musical theater, which is, that's like some of everything.
Exactly, yeah.
Great. And we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do and where do you do it?
Sure. So my current job is a CEO owner of my own company called Supermarketers. And what Supermarketers does is food demonstrations and other marketing projects for organic and natural food and beverage brands. And I do this based in New York City. And most of the time, I work from home doing a lot of scheduling, reaching out to brands, trying to, bring in work. But a lot of the time as well, I'm in the stores doing food demonstrations, working events or festivals for these brands. I do have other work outside of New York City, like New Jersey, Connecticut, the states kind of around New York.
Like Metro New York
Yeah,
area.
Metro New York area is the area that I cover for these specific brands.
Got it. When you say you're CEO, is this say a one-person operation? Do you have permanent employees or some temp people you get temporarily to help staff events?
Yeah, so all my brand ambassadors, I like to call them, are 1099 independent contractors. And it's great for the artist community. I started the company for that reason, because there's not many jobs out there that really work with an artist schedule. And once we get to the history, it kind of just, fell into finding that this was a world. And after a certain amount of years, I kind of just decided to start my own company. So I have my own LLC. So I am the owner, but then I have people underneath me, i.e., the brand ambassadors who go out and assist me with these activations.
Got it. Just to get a general idea, like how in a typical week, how many hours are you paying other people for? Right, like two people times 10 hours would be 20 hours.
Yeah, I'd say I have some top brand ambassadors that I use that they're getting anywhere between like 30 and 35 hours
Oh.
a week, but I also have people that only do 6 hours or 8 hours, because at the end of the day, my brand ambassadors have full rein of their schedule. So they call me what they can do. I don't tell them what to do. They give me their schedule, and I base the activations around when they can do them.
Got it, got it. And but it does sound like, but I was just trying to get a handle. It sounds like there's a substantial component of other people working here for you, as opposed to once every couple weeks you need someone for a few hours.
No, every week we have activations in stores, in grocery stores. And of course, like there might be an event or a festival that we might do, that might be coming up once a month. But where, when you go to the grocery store and you see someone, with a food sample asking you if you'd like to try it, those are brand ambassadors under my LLC name.
Got it, got it. And so it sounds like you are hired by the makers of the food then
That is correct.
to and that to then do these demos. And
Yes, that is exactly
does
right.
the promotion does what you do go beyond running the demos, or is it pretty much like you do the demos, you do the festivals, you supply the people? Like, do
Yeah,
they
so
like, is there much of a marketing component that you're doing as opposed to here's the food, here the samples go?
Oh, I mean, I would say yes to that answer because it is literally, I feel brand ambassadors have such a big role in making a brand and building a brand because we're there to educate them about this new product. Most of the time of food or beverage who is doing a demo, they're doing it because they're new and they're not really known, you know, by people. And it's our job to be there and educate them that it is organic, it is vegan, it's gluten-free. You know, I'd say demos are 80% of what we do. And then I would say another 10% is like festivals and events. And then I would say another 10%, we also do like some merchandising stuff, to help check that brands are on the shelf. And we also, assist with like some guerrilla marketing things. So we might pass out free product, to consumers on the street or, you know, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we're here to market that product.
And these demos, it sounds like they're pretty much all in supermarkets. I shop at Whole Foods and definitely and Trader Joe's. I've seen
it. Whole Foods is my predominant, you know, my predominant place that we do demos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but we do Fairways. We do a whole bunch of other stores.
Got it. So I assume then that Whole Foods is familiar with who you are. Do they? I'm just curious if you don't mind sharing, because I imagine you're getting paid by the food companies that produce the ones that make the products. Does Whole Foods typically expect to be paid? Do they pay you? Do they just say, sure, why not? Come on by.
I just get paid by the brand. Whole Foods doesn't have any place in payment towards my company.
Got it. But, and you don't pay them either, I assume.
Well, they have a fee for us to do the demo. So pay them the fee for us to come and activate that specific event.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Gotcha. And, you said, so do you mind sharing a couple products that you've demoed?
Sure. One of my main brands that I've been with for a while is called Kombrucha, and they're an amazing alcoholic kombucha brand. Mm-hmm. I have a really great vegan cooking sauce that's local to the New York area called Haven's Kitchen.
Quick disclaimer, I'm vegan. Sounds great already.
Oh, my gosh. So great. We also have some stores like in the D.C. area that have them as well. Noosa yogurt. They're pretty big. Mm-hmm. They're an Australian style yogurt. I have olive oil, which has olive oil and vinegars. Partake Foods would probably be another great product you would like. It's a vegan, like gluten free, allergen friendly cookie. Wild Way is also a vegan paleo granola. Wonder Creamery is a quark, i.e. like European style yogurt. And those are just a few. I've been in business about 2.5 years now. So I've worked with, I'd say, between 20 and 30 brands through my LLC so far.
Gotcha. Now, it seems like as CEO, you have multiple responsibilities, some of which you've alluded to. Sounds like you get to coordinate all the actual nuts and bolts of each of these demos. Sounds like you get to sort of probably hire people. I didn't know, like, is there much of a training component that you give people?
Yes. So I'm really big about making sure that I hands-on train the person. So as long as you're, you know, in the New York City, Brooklyn, like metro area, and I hire you, I will go to that brand ambassador's first demo and train them on that specific product that I've put them on. Because there's a very specific way on how to catch the customer, how to educate them, and in turn close the sale, because that's a big component of why we're there. Like, we, you know, understand if someone can't take the product home that day, but we would like to. So there's a way to kind of close the sale and say, how, you know, what do you think? How do you like it? Would you like to take one home today? So I definitely try to make sure that I'm behind the demo table with them for their first runaround.
And closing the sale, I imagine these things are regularly available at the Whole Foods or wherever, and it just means you probably have a pile of them right there.
Exactly, yeah.
They're still buying it from Whole Foods.
No. Yes. So Whole Foods won't allow you to demo in their store unless it's a product they sell. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely guaranteed to, you know, go in there and have a product that is supposed to be sold there.
So I'm curious sort of how it breaks down. I'm sure it varies, but about how many hours a week do you work?
Wow, it all depends on how many demos I have on the calendar.
Sure. And I'm giving a broad definition of working, right? So outreach to customers counts as working. Doing your books counts. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would say anywhere between 30 and 40 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of those 30 to 40, how much are you out? Like, do you ever go do the demos yourself apart from when you're training somebody?
Yes. So I am that on-call person. When someone gets sick, someone can't stand in, most of my team are artists, and I'll get, hey, Lauren, I got a call back for 3:00 today. I know I have a demo at 4:00. You know, I'll be like, hey, like, go crush that call back. Don't worry. Like, I'll go ahead and get my supply bag together and I'll go handle this one. So I'm kind of that person that's all over the place, making sure that things run smoothly.
Gotcha. And how many demos would you say you typically do in a week?
That, like I said, it all depends on how many people cancel, but like last week, I did 2. Mm-hmm. The week before I did none. So there's some months where I've actually had no cancellations. And then there's some months that, hey, it just happens. Someone's sick or, you know, someone needed to go out of town because of a family emergency. And that's why I'm here, to make sure to fill those gaps.
Sure. And, how about, I think I heard you say that a lot of your time is spent on outreach to the brands to, let's say, line up work.
Mm-hmm.
What fraction of your day does that involve, and what fraction of that is just touching base with the brands you currently work for versus do you do any outreach to new brands? New for you, that is.
I wouldn't say like a crazy amount of my hours goes towards that, but like I'm definitely like on LinkedIn, like posting articles about the industry that I'm in to kind of, you know, put my name out there that, hey, I'm around, or I'll post a picture of, you know, one of my team members doing a demo saying, hey, come visit us at this store if you want to try. I also, of course, you know, I do a few trade shows during the year in which I go and connect with new brands. And that's when I put the most hours in, because I'm, you know, emailing them after the show and seeing what their needs are. A lot of them are like, oh, reach out, you know, back to me in the spring. So I'll kind of like put, you know, a reminder in my calendar to kind of go back to them. But for me, as long as I have enough work for my team and enough work for myself, I'm not like crazy kind of going out there like looking to pull so many brands in, because I really do feel that less is more. And although I would love more, I want to make sure to give all the brands my undivided attention. So I tend to kind of keep it, you know, small boutique sort of marketing company here in the Northeast.
And I'm curious, like, when you are, let's say, reaching out,
mm-hmm.
is it more a pitch of you should do live demos, or here's why you should do your live demos with me being of supermarketers?
Right. And, so I'm more so just like post of, hey, we're out here doing demos. I feel like a lot of brands know the importance of going out and having the consumer try your product. There's nothing but having all 5 senses involved. So I don't think I have the need to go out there and say, here's why you should do demos.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's more so, you know, I really do think LinkedIn and social media are very important, because that's I'd say the two things that have gotten me the most work from bringing in new brands to be on my roster are social media. Someone will find me via LinkedIn or Instagram. I'll post a picture of myself or my brand ambassador doing a demo. And I will be found from that, or I'll be found from word of mouth. So a brand will be like, oh, I'm looking for a demo company. And, you know, the industry is so small in a sense. So they'll be like, oh, well, I've been using this company for 4 months now and our sales have been great. You know, here's their contact information. So I've gotten a lot of work by word of mouth as well. So if you do good work, you know, the work will come.
Gotcha. That's great. And how about your employees or your, you call them something else.
Brand ambassadors.
Brand ambassadors, right. Your brand ambassadors. Like, how do you find good people to work for you?
So I started this company in mind for the artists. So I was like, this is perfect for me to start this business because my whole Facebook, like, is artists. So I pretty much go to my friend base first and say, hey guys, like, who's in need of work? You know, who just got back from summer stock that they need, you know, income now, you know? So I start on my friend base and I start, you know, with, does any friends of friends know any artists who need work? I try to keep my team artist base just because I know that they're the best people to do what I need them to do.
Yeah, go on. What, I mean, obviously you said that it works well insofar as that your hours are very flexible.
Yes.
So that helps. That makes your job good for an artist. But I'd love it, and this will relate a little bit to what we talked about later, but that's fine. Like, why do you like to hire artists?
Because I feel they have the training on what they need to do in order to sell the product. So I know as an artist, musical theater, we're trained, what are the tactics? What do you need? What's your objective? How are you going to get them? And that's exactly what we're doing behind the demo table is, you know, what are the tactics we're going to use to get our objective, which is to get the customer to buy it. And when I tell my brand ambassadors that, they understand, especially when they're an artist, of course. And I feel singers, you know, this, and musicians the same way. Like, if you're playing a musical piece, you want to emote a certain feeling from this. Like, what's your, you know, what tactic do you want to use and what feeling do you want to use in playing this music in order to get the feeling from your listener? So I just feel artists are the best choice to do a demo because I think they kind of understand that. Hopefully I made sense with what I just said.
Absolutely.
So I start there first. So I start with my friends of friends. And then I'll go, you know, if I need to go out and look in different places, I will do so. But I definitely start, you know, with my friends first and people who just know artists that might be in need of work.
Gotcha. That's great. And I assume your pay is hourly based.
Yes, it is hourly based.
Mm-hmm. And as the CEO, you sort of take the what comes in, what goes out, and the rest is for you.
Exactly. I do have some overhead. What's great is that I don't pay rent to Whole Foods or any of the grocery stores. Like, you know, I pay the fee, of course, for us to come in and do the activation. But other than that, I have to just cover supplies like cups and gloves, spoons, anything that might be needed to serve the product.
Gotcha.
Also like tablecloths or buckets, things like that.
Understood. And does the company send you product directly or do they just tell Whole Foods, hey, we're sending you some extra this week because there'll be a demo?
It depends on the product. I mean, most of the time we just purchase from the store we're going to and buy the product off the shelf. because, you know, sometimes we're working with refrigerated or frozen items, but.
Oh, you're saying you purchase the product that's when you cut the cookies into little bite-sized toothpick pieces.
Exactly. We're purchasing that most of the time from the store, unless the brand feels it's a more economical way to ship that to the brand ambassadors.
Sure.
Most of the time we just get it at the store.
And no doubt, of course, your price to the brand is going to reflect your own costs.
So the brands do pay for any demo product that we sample, but they don't pay for any supplies that need to be given to the customers.
Gotcha. Plates and forks and toothpicks and whatever.
Exactly. That's on me, and it's just easier to kind of take that stress off of the brand to say, hey, like, I got it covered. But that's my main thing, is I want the brand to come to me and say, we need this done. And I want to be able to say, great, I got it. No problem.
Understood. Makes a lot of sense. And it's not like plates and toothpicks are all that expensive anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible. It's just, you know, what I personally do is I have an Amazon business account. So an Amazon like Prime business account, they do have that option. So, I'm a member for my business. I will just send different packages to different brand ambassadors around the metro area. So it can get a little expensive because, you know, I can't just send one ream of cups to one person. You have to buy a $50 box of cups. but, you know, it lasts them as long as they keep doing, you know, work within, you know, under the company name.
Gotcha. So next question for you is, one of the criteria you had to hit in order to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So
yeah.
Could you articulate what is it about having your own, can I call it a food marketing company?
Yeah, that's, I would say that's a perfect way of describing what I do.
What is it about that that you enjoy?
I love how I get to use what I learned in school, which is like, 'cause my thing out of musical theater that I feel was my top thing that I do the best is acting. And in acting, you learn what's your objective and what tactics are you going to use to get your objective. And I get to use that with demos. You know, when a woman with Lululemon pants is coming up with a stroller and three kids and I'm selling an energy drink, you know, I'm going to talk to her different than I might talk to a man with a business suit, coming on his lunch break. And I feel like I'm just kind of living this improv on my toes sort of lifestyle, which I feel like I studied at school. So I think that's why I love it, is I feel like I'm using what I learned in the business that I started. And I'm also giving back to the artist community, because most of the people in the New York City region who do demos are all artists. And I'm giving them the safety.
You're saying your people or pretty much everywhere?
My people. I don't know about other companies, but I know that I like to hire artists because I know that this is a good paying, flexible job, and that the person who is in charge of the company is understanding to getting a job, because I used to do this as an independent contractor directly for brands, and I never felt like I was understood. So when I would go to my boss and say, hey, I have a callback, or hey, I'm going to do a show, or I'm wanting to do a show, I was kind of looked at as just a person that could be thrown away, and they weren't really happy about that. But with me, I have people come and say, hey, Lauren, I booked Beauty and the Beast this summer for summer stock, and I'm not like, oh, okay, well, I need to find a replacement right away, which of course, like I do, I need to find someone to take, you know, whatever work is coming our way. But I say, congratulations, this is amazing. Just give me an email like when you're on your way back so we can get you on more work upon arrival. And I love that I can give that back to the artist community. knowing that they have this safe space to come to me and say, hey, I got a call back, or hey, I got a job.
That's great. And by the way, if you're not comfortable sharing, that's okay. But if it's, mm-hmm. let's say, common knowledge, you were mm-hmm. alluded to it being a well-paying job. Can I ask, like, what's the starter wage if someone is sure. like, hey, I want to work for you?
Yeah, so it starts at 15 an hour, but I have people being paid up to 20, and those people have been with me for a while. So I always start people at 15, mm-hmm. but doesn't mean that they can't go up from there.
Sure, sure. No, and as you say, that's decent money, and the hours are very flexible.
Which... Right, exactly.
Perfect. All right, so let's move on to the next part of the interview, and we'll take it back to 2010, although if you feel your story has an earlier logical starting point, we'll take it back further.
Yeah, I know. 2010 is good.
Okay, because I'm guessing you weren't thinking, you know, food marketing company, CEO.
Totally not.
Yeah, so like, put us in your headspace as you were wrapping up things at BOCO, as well as, let's say, what you were doing, and then sort of, well, follow both where you were doing and where you were at, one step at a time from there to where you are now.
Sure. So I was very lucky. 2010, I hadn't graduated yet, and I saw a posting for Fiddler on the Roof on Playbill for an audition in New York City. So I went, took the bus, auditioned, got a call back, went back, and got the part. And I found out I booked this national tour. It was a national tour.
Ooh, which part?
I played Seidel, the eldest daughter.
Cool.
And I booked the part before I even graduated, and I was feeling great. I was like, well, doesn't matter what, you know, what showcase is going to bring, I have a job. Even though it was non-union, it was like, it was still a job. Mm-hmm. So I did showcase, and I only got like one interest from a casting director, but no agents. But of course, I was like, you know what? I have a job. Like, I'm going on tour, so all good. And I did a year around the U.S. and Canada. We did about 88 cities between the two countries. Wow. Yeah. And we had a couple breaks during the year, and I remember sending out headshots and resumes to agents. Letting them know I was coming back from tour.
Right, because you basically, this tour has a set end point.
Exactly.
So you're working a lot for that year, but then it's going to stop.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I sent off my stuff, and I didn't hear back from anyone, which was very interesting to me that I had booked a tour before I even graduated and sent out my headshot and resume to agents and didn't hear back from anyone. And that's what we were taught at BOCO, was to do snail mail, but I'm thinking maybe just no one was checking it. Like, at that point, it was maybe 2011/12.
Economy is still not great.
Yeah. So I came back, and I needed to, you know, make money, although I had a good amount saved from being on tour.
And sorry, would you say back, are you from New York?
No, sorry. So I'm originally from Miami, Florida, but I stay back because this is the mecca of theater. And this is where I just decided, like, I'm going to go to New York after a tour and just keep trying to book work, you know?
Totally understood.
So I moved to New York after tour, and I did all these odd end jobs, like, away from food marketing. I didn't even know food marketing was a thing. Like, I didn't know. I thought the people doing these demos at Whole Foods were hired by Whole Foods, but that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. So I babysat. I did temp work via this website called TaskRabbit, which turned into like longer term work for certain people. From TaskRabbit, like, I did some temp work for this like nonprofit agency, and I ended up working in a doctor's office for a year. Like, I did some crazy stuff. And then one day I walked into a Whole Foods, and this woman was sampling a smoothie product.
Do you remember about when this was?
I would say this was 2013. Okay. And I was like, wow, this is really good. Like, I could totally sell this stuff. And she's like, actually, I'm the marketing manager. Like, I shouldn't be standing behind this table. Like, we're looking to hire. And I was like, oh, totally. Like, I would love to apply.
Can I ask, I'm interested just that you found yourself so attracted to that line of work. It sounds like you had been holding your own, and I don't know, being in a doctor's office, it's just seemed more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of said it of like, you know, oh man, I could totally sell this. This is so good. Like, I said it in passing, not to like really make any sort of connection from it. But it happened that she was like, well, we're looking to hire. And then the owner of the company was standing 3 feet behind because he kind of wanted to overhear people's feedback about the product. And he was like, oh my gosh, it's so great to hear that you really love it. Like, we are looking for someone to do more demos for us. And I interviewed with them and they hired me, and I just saw that it was a great, like, I was great at it. Like, I'm just a great salesperson.
Do you mind sharing what this company's name was?
So it was called Oatworks. The owner is from England, so he decided to take the company back to England and kind of keep it going there. It's since left here.
Oh, so yeah, I don't want to jump ahead. So basically, you're there at Oatworks. You're doing really, really well. I'm sure they keep track of people's numbers. About how long are you working at Oatworks?
Probably like 8 to 12 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And then from there, I just, you know, once you're kind of doing demos, like, you have a lot of people who are passing through.
Is that when the company, is that when the owner then said, I'm moving back to the UK, bye?
Exactly. So he did that. I also, like, I did some backpacking. Like, I did some solo traveling for a couple months.
Oh, fun.
Here and there. And then once I kind of came back from traveling, I went on my computer and my printer and I made my own like business cards, because there was a trade show in town, like a food and beverage trade show. And I just kind of went in there branding myself as an independent contractor, brand ambassador, looking for brands who might need someone. And I found...
Could I ask a quick question?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, and I don't mean just brand ambassadors, right? It's very common for a lot of people. They get a job, they like it, they're good at it. Something happens, not their fault, the job goes away. And then their impulse is, I'm going to look for another job, right? I'm going to look for another company to work for. Your impulse was, I'm going to do this myself. I'm interested to hear what made that your logic. I'm just saying that's not the norm. And I'm not saying that in a bad way.
Well, I didn't. So I only knew about working directly for the brand because I worked directly for Oatworks. I never went through like a third party company like myself.
Oatworks was a specific food product.
Yes.
Got it.
And I just kind of, from working for Oatworks, there were other brands that I had worked for as well, just from, you know, people seeing me in the stores or hearing my, like, people just found out word of mouth that my sales were amazing. Like, I would go to a store and sell, I think my highest amount that I sold was 236 bottles in 4 hours. And that's unheard of.
That's like one a minute.
Yeah. I mean, some of these stores in the city are crazy on the weekend. And we were at that time allowed on the weekend in the stores. So, but really, like, I know that my sales, you know, are really good. So after kind of taking a break and doing odd end jobs, I wanted to get back into demoing. So like I said, I made these business cards on my printer and got myself to this trade show.
And did the business card say supermarketers, or did
that come later? No, it was me. It was just me.
And you
just saying, I'm a brand ambassador who needs one.
Sure. And you must remember when this trade show was.
Yes, so that was probably in 2013 as well. Like, after I left Oatworks, I kind of took my time away, and then...
Must be 2014, maybe?
Or maybe 2014, maybe? Yeah, I don't know. But between 2013 and 2014.
Okay.
And I just went for it. I just went from booth to booth and said, you know, looked for products I really enjoyed. And I found one product called Back to the Roots. They're still around. They make cereals and cereal toppers, and they also have ready-to-grow mushrooms and really cool stuff that are very, like, eco-friendly. And I worked for them for, like, a year and a half. And I gave myself to them. I did an audition, you know, like, I really, you know, I stayed with them for a long while. I didn't jump around, and they were my only brand.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, I had decided as well, like, I was looking at auditions, but I just wasn't going anymore. And I knew that I was really enjoying this line of work, but I know you need to build relationships. So that's what I did with Back to the Roots, is I just gave them my time and my effort. Mm-hmm. And I was doing really good work for them. And they were using me as their main brand ambassador, but then they also outsourced to a third-party company who, long story short, just wasn't doing a good job. And I set up my LLC in July, just the paperwork. And
2014?
Yeah, 2014. Mm-hmm. Well, I set up my LLC paperwork, sorry, because my business is only, like, about 2.5 years old. So I set up my LLC in, like, 2016.
Okay.
And so I worked for this brand called Back to the Roots, I guess, for, like, about 2 years.
Got it. Great experience. But as you said, then things changed and it felt like a good time to get out.
No. So I took that. They were using a third party company, right? Mm-hmm. And they were using me as, like, their main brand ambassador to go out and sell. But this other third party was there to do more, like, promotional stuff, but also sampling. And they weren't doing a good job. And finally, you know, once I had my LLC paperwork taken care of, I went to my contact at the brand and I said, hey, I know that there's been a couple run-ins with this third party that you're using. I have my LLC paperwork set up. I've been with you a couple years and I really feel like I could do good work for you guys if you want to give me the account.
Ooh.
And he was like, actually, I think that we might need to do that because this other third party was not doing a good job. And a week later, I had my first account. And they were my first supporter under my company.
Got it.
At first, I was called Demos Designed because we just did demos, but then I changed the name about a year and a half in to include more services because I didn't want to just be known as, like, the Burger King, like, you know, they're just known for burgers. I wanted to be known like, hey, we do marketing and we do super marketing. So I kind of changed the name to all encompass everything.
Gotcha. How long from when you got the LLC and you got your first account to when you started hiring people?
Sure. So July, I got my LLC, July 2016. Mm-hmm. And then I got my first account in, I believe, November.
First account other than the Back to the Roots?
No. Back to the Roots was my first account.
Oh, so in November 16. When did you get your second account, by the way? Because that's almost more significant than the first.
Sure. So I got my second account, I would say, in January. And that was from a LinkedIn post because I was just posting pictures of us doing demos for Back to the Roots.
Uh-huh.
And the second account I had was a brand called Honey Drop Lemonade. Really amazing product. And they were on with me for maybe 8 months or so. And that one was just from LinkedIn, just from social media.
And then when did you start hiring people?
Right away. So once Thankfully, I had a little bit of leeway time. So July, mid-July is when I got my paperwork. And in November or September is when I was like, hey, well, I have my LLC paperwork now. And they finally, when they said, yes, we want to give you the account, they needed to end their relationship with the other third party. So they said, hey, you know, starting at November 1st is when you'll start your account. So right when I had like my contract in saying you will start working November 1st, I had a good chunk of time to hire the amount of people I needed to hire for the amount of work that they needed to give.
Gotcha. As you said, you start off with friends and friends of friends.
Exactly. I had like maybe a team of maybe six or seven of us, including myself. With just one brand, it doesn't need it, you know, it wasn't a crazy amount of people that I needed to hire. So I definitely lucked out, and I was definitely behind the table a lot of the time myself, because they wanted, I think they were giving us like 60 demos a month. So it was a good amount.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. And it sounds like it's just been onward and upward from there. At least you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it sounds like you have about the amount of business you want to have at minimum.
At minimum, yes. I would love more work. I wouldn't mind taking on like two or three more brands, but I also have more than enough work to keep my main brand ambassadors going.
Very cool. All right, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. 'Cause it sounds like there haven't been any real twists since then, right? It's just been more clients, a few more people.
Yep. People coming, people going, people booking shows, hiring new people. And that's all a part of my job, is to make sure that I have a team that's readily available to take care of the work that we have.
Sure. Great. All right. So moving on to the third part of the interview of three. So my first question for you, and there's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
Is, let's say these days, let's say meaning over the past 6 months or so. What, if anything, is your current relationship with music/dance/theater?
Yeah, so I love theater. I have an audition since I've pretty much started working for Back to the Roots as an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. I had this vision that I would start this company and be able to kind of go out and audition, have more time, but still bring in an income and still be a working artist at the same time. But that is not the case. Starting your own business takes a lot of effort and time. And at the end of the day, everything's on you. Like, technically I can go and visit my family in Miami for a week, but I have to make sure that my bases are covered if things do go wrong on my watch when I'm not here.
Yeah, you don't get paid vacation.
No, I don't. but I really do want to like get back into doing voiceovers. I've done voiceovers in the past, like just from home, like on a, you know, a website, to make some extra cash. And I really love voiceovers and I love commercials because it's a little easier to kind of get in, do your audition and get out. But with theater, a lot of times you're kind of waiting there a long time for your name to be called. And running a business like myself, it's a little difficult to kind of add that into my routine. Although sure. I thought I was going to be able to do it, but unfortunately, my company has taken over. But I am still a huge supporter of theater, and I really do want to get back into it. But before I get back into theater, I'll probably get back into voiceovers and commercials more so first, because they're a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, and short term, as you said.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So my next question for you is, and you've alluded to this in a couple places, but mm-hmm. I'm going to ask it anyway, just in case there's stuff you want to add, which is that, you know, let's assume you would have gone to college somewhere, mm-hmm. but, you know, was there anything in particular you feel your BOGO experience did well to prepare you for what you're doing now. And let's even define for what you're doing now, both as doing the food marketing and as running your own business.
Yeah, I think BOGO really prepared me to be a people's person. And really, even though we didn't take a sales class, I really think that acting class prepares you on how to sell. And also how to sell yourself. Like in an audition, that's exactly what we're doing. And behind the demo table, I'm just selling a product, even though I'm not selling myself. Although in a sense, you kind of have to, because you got to smile, you got to be, you know, excited about the product. Because if you're not excited about the product, then the customer won't be excited about the product. So I really feel like BOGO prepared me to, you know, give customer service and know how to sell a product, because I was trained to sell myself in terms of, you know, in the audition room. What I wish that we had.
That's my next question. Being anticipated. Yeah, right. Is there anything you wish that they learned? Anything missing or complete or incomplete in your education? Let her in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it took me longer personally to get my LLC paperwork set up and learn the, learn how to start a business. And I really wish there was a business class like that kind of encompassed, what your choices were. It took me a while to decide, was I going to be an LLC? Was I going to be an S Corp? Watching multiple videos on YouTube, talking to friends, where do I find insurance, you know, for this business? What else do I need? I would say it took me 6 months to finally, like, you know, get my paperwork in. And I feel like I could, like, it really was an easy process. But when you don't know about the process, it's a long and difficult one. Sure. And that's something that I'm looking into doing is helping artists, set up a small business for themselves, because I've done it. And I would really love to help other people to make the journey easier for them, because it took me a while. Like there's certain things that if you don't know, you're going to be out so much money. And because I did research, I saved thousands of dollars on setting up my LLC.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right. So my next question for you is that, let's say you, sounds like you had a few years, maybe a year in there after your tour, where 1 or 2 years of kind of struggle of figuring out what are you going to do, and you know, treading water, as it were.
Yes.
And then you found this occupation and really clicked with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really put you on a path to where you are now. Yes, yep. You took your own initiative, right? Yes, it wasn't handed to you.
Right.
But you enjoyed it. You did well with it. You took it, I'd say, in the logical direction.
Yeah, it took me a few years because I got the job doing demonstrations.
Sure.
But I had to do it for a while for me to finally say, wow, you know what? I can really see myself doing this long term. Like, this is no longer just me making good money in order for me to go to audition. Like, I really see myself in this industry.
Gotcha. So let's say, speaking in general, I'm sure you're aware that a lot of people, even like you were maybe 2 years out from BOGO, where you hadn't yet found that path.
Mm-hmm.
And there are even, let's say, people in their last year at Berkeley and BOGO staring out into the big scary world and saying, you know, oh my God, what happens next? Or at least what happens next if I don't have the great tour lined up?
Right.
And let's say, you know, for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
So I have advice and just like comment. Like, at the end of the day, I really feel when you graduate, you should go push for what you studied. If you want to be a singer, you want to do this, like, go out there and audition your butt off, but know that you're going to need to have that side hustle to bring money in. It's just, you know, the It's just the reality for 99% of us. And do those things like do, you know, I did it. I did babysitting, TaskRabbit, you know, all these small ways of just making money. But also don't get scared away from something that you might find that you really enjoy. And you know, if you do that for a while and see that you really enjoy it, I feel like a lot of people get scared and say, oh, well, I didn't study this in college and this is not what I meant to be. But, you know, maybe we're meant to do so many things. You know, maybe we are meant to go and do a food marketing business and have me go jam at the Blue Note Jazz Club every Saturday night. You know, there is a way to do everything you love to do. So I guess that would be my advice is go out there, you know, audition, like try to get those gigs as much as possible, but try also your best to go find that side hustle that you also enjoy.
Gotcha. That's great. And to focus in a little bit, because I think you're my 158th interview.
Wow.
And you're my first food marketer.
Cool.
Food demo marketer.
It is a very small community.
Although, I don't know if you looked there. I did speak with a BOCO grad who's a food blogger.
Oh,
does a
well, we
a bunch
totally
of different things.
Up.
Yeah, Ellie Laughlin, she's also musical theater.
Oh, I think I know her.
Yeah, sure. Her profile's on my site.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Is she in Chicago?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yes, Cincinnati, yeah. No, we went to school at the same time. I think she graduated a year or two below me, but I totally know her. Yeah, she's great.
Funny. So, point is, I don't think anyone's listening to all 158 interviews.
Right.
Right. Who's listening to this and who made it this far? Right? Listening to this is going to be the people who are like, huh, food marketer, okay, maybe they've seen people doing that. Yeah, seems like kind of cool, kind of fun. Yeah, as you say, it's good for a people person. It did not require you going back and getting a master's degree in computer science.
Yep.
So for somebody who's like, hey, this seems like a kind of interesting field to get into, either specifically food or something along those lines. Do you have, or even just people think of starting their own business, do you have any specific advice for them?
Yeah. So if you want to do like food marketing or kind of get into the industry, even just to kind of make your side hustle, you know, being a brand ambassador and making your own schedule and making that 15 to 20 an hour, you want to get in and get to be known in the demo/event world industry. So there's a lot of Facebook groups out there where brands will post that they're looking for people. Indeed is a great place to look. I'm sure people even still post on Craigslist. Of course, I'm always here if someone wants to send out their headshot and resume too. It's lauren@super-marketers.com. Because I'm always, you know, I have artists in and out doing shows. I'm always, you know, filling my roster if I am ever in need of anyone new. And I never know when new brands are going to be coming on board and I in turn need to hire more people. So that's what I would suggest if you're looking and getting into it, like just get known in front of the industry and, in front of the brands. And if you see someone at Whole Foods or another grocery store who is sampling, feel free to stop and ask them, who do they work for? Do they enjoy working with them? Do they pay on time? Because there's also the other side of, you know, sometimes the companies might not treat their people well. And you know, I pay every 2 weeks via direct deposit, but some companies pay only once a month. So you also want to look into the little, intrinsics of how the company works as well. And talking to someone behind the demo table who actually works for them is a great idea.
Got it. And stop me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but what I'm also think I'm hearing that you may not have said explicitly is the best way to start in the industry is to sort of get on the ground floor doing demos.
Yeah, either that or events. Just go out and apply to different demo needs or events that brands might need.
Sure.
But once you're in front of people, you know, you're going to be able to meet others, see who they're working for, and start to build the companies that or the brands that you might be working under.
Gotcha. All right. Well, hey, Lauren, I just have one last question for you.
Sure.
Which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I think I'd like to say, so when I went into musical theater, my family was very devil's advocate. What are you going to do with a theater degree? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. I proved them wrong by booking a tour before I even graduated. But I feel like I more so proved them wrong that I started my own company. And I think at the end of the day, someone should be studying what they truly love. And I have no regrets about going to school and doing 4 years of musical theater, because I got to sing, act, and dance all day, 5 days a week, sometimes on the weekends. And I think that people should know that if you're doing what you love, whether it brings you to doing that every day of your life, you should still be happy that you're doing it, you know, in the four precious years of your life, which is college. So go out, do your thing, have fun doing it. You know, when you graduate, do all you can to get out there and hustle yourself to get that gig that you want. But also know that there's a life outside of, you know, music or artistry. And hopefully, you know, you can find the love for something else to bring those bills in for you.
Gotcha. Great, great way to end. Well, hey, Lauren, thank you so much. I'm really glad you were able to make the time and enjoyed this conversation.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thank you. All right. Look for a message from me in the near future, and best of luck with everything.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.